All right, I think we'll get started. Hello, and welcome to the NSF webinar on the Advanced Cyber Infrastructure Coordination Ecosystem Services and Support Program, also known as ACCESS. I'm joined by several of my colleagues in the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, including Robert Chaddick and Tom Gulbranson, as well as our office director, Manish Parashar. This meeting is being recorded and will be available online via the event page in the coming days. In this webinar, we wish to inform the research computing community about the ACCESS program. We will begin with some comments from the Office Director of OAC, Dr. Manish Parashar, who will describe OAC's vision for the cyber infrastructure ecosystem and set some context. We will then describe the ACCESS program itself and its high-level objectives. We'll then detail the two solicitations that form the ACCESS program, NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556. Lastly, we will provide answers to frequently asked questions and provide time for questions from attendees. At any time during this webinar, you may submit questions to us via the Q&A function within Zoom. Our goal for this webinar is to help ensure the submission of high quality, well-aligned proposals for a robust set of coordination services and support activities. So I will now hand it over to Dr. Manish Parashar to set some context for the ACCESS program. You may need to unmute yourself, Manish. Or double check your microphone. We're still trying to hear you, Manish. Do you perhaps try changing your microphone?
Is this better?
Correct, yes.
Perfect.
Coming in loud and clear.
Well, apologies for that, and good morning, or good afternoon as the case may be. I know we're here to talk about this solicitation, but we thought it'd be a good idea to take a step back and provide a broader context about the program, how it fits into our vision for an advanced cyber infrastructure ecosystem, and how we got to this solicitation. Could you click on the slide, please, Al? So as you've heard me say this many times now, we view cyber infrastructure broadly as made up of many different pieces, and coordination and user support, the coordination services, is an essential part of this cyber infrastructure ecosystem. And as we try to build our investments in these, we have realized that it is important that these pieces work together towards enabling science. Could you click on that, please, Al? And the cyber infrastructure services, again, are important to make sure that these different components of the cyber infrastructure really work together towards enabling discovery. The second thing that you've heard me say many times is that our cyber infrastructure ecosystem, its needs, and the entire context is evolving quickly, whether in the type of demand we're seeing, the technologies that exist, or the applications we are enabling, or what the users value. And so our cyber infrastructure ecosystem has to evolve. And so what we have been doing at OAC is laying out a vision on how we see the cyber infrastructure ecosystem moving forward. And this vision is based on a few overarching principles. The first one is realizing that the different pieces of cyber infrastructure have to work together. And so we have to view cyber infrastructure holistically. Clearly, we need to make sure that we are innovating. And so translational research in bringing the innovation to cyber infrastructure is important. while we innovate, we also have to balance that innovation with stability and make sure we have the stability that the user community needs and expects. Couple the discovery with innovation, so make sure that while the sciences evolve, the cyber infrastructure is also evolving, and the two are in a evolving in a coupled manner, and keeping the users and usability central as we move forward. Next slide, please. So the way we have done this is work with you, the community, to understand along each dimension, each element of the cyber infrastructure, what the vision should look like, what the needs are, and what the cyber infrastructure should look like moving forward. We then take what we have heard and put it into these blueprint documents, which represent our understanding and our vision, our interpretation of this community engagement in terms of the cyber infrastructure ecosystem. And then these lead to solicitations. And we have been doing this consistently over the past few years along many different dimensions of the cyber infrastructure ecosystem. Next slide, please. So in terms of the coordinating services, we had a workshop where we brought the community together about 2 years, 2.5 years back now, about a year and a half back now. And the goal of this workshop was to see what do these coordinated cyber infrastructure look like moving forward to enable science in the 21st century, science and engineering, research and education in the 21st century. And there were a few outcomes of this, which are summarized in the slide. The first one was clearly that the goal here is to transform science and keeping science in central to this. Realizing that it's an ecosystem means there are many different needs that have to work together, that have different timescales, different scales, but still have to come together as an ecosystem. There are new domains coming in with very different needs, which have to be assimilated and served by these services. Campuses are going to play an important role, both as a place where we have the increasing amount of capabilities, but also that's where the users and the science is happening. And so how do we make sure that it's well integrated into the services as we think about them? Integrate the services, there are multiple different services that have to work collectively. And these services should not only allocate resources, but should think much broader than that. The report from this workshop is online and you can look at it. So we took this report and then we built the blueprint around it. Next slide, please. To complement our other blueprints. So here are our set of blueprints that we have released right now. The CI Coordination Services blueprint builds off this workshop report that I talked about. Next slide. And really what it does is it takes the outcome from that workshop and the community discussions and identifies what were the key elements of this coordination service, what are the services that we're looking for, but also tries to address the key needs that came in. For example, how do we ensure scalability, not just in size, but also in breadth, to bring in these different needs in different communities? How do we make sure that we have flexibility both in how these are coordinated and managed moving forward? How do we make sure that we have the required level of as these communities change and the needs evolve, how do we make sure that we can manage them in an effective manner? And how do we make sure that we have agility in the operation and evolution? So as, again, different communities with different needs change and evolve and grow, how can we adapt these services to meet these emerging needs? Next slide. And so this has resulted in this solicitation that you'll hear a lot more of in this webinar over the next half an hour or so, or an hour. Next slide. So, but before I turn it over to Al to take you through the webinar, I just want to leave you with this broader vision that we have for this national research infrastructure. It's an ecosystem that builds on a heterogeneous set of capabilities and capacities, the advanced computing ecosystem that we have been deploying over the past few years, right? And then provides the necessary services, coordination services, that can really democratize access to the entire science and engineering research and education community to be able to leverage this, right? And so what we looked at, or we based the idea, we identified these services based on inputs from you, the community, and now we are looking for your most innovative, your best ideas on how moving forward we implement these services, right? So with that, I'll hand it over to Al to dig deeper into the solicitation.
Thank you, Manish, for that context setting. This is a great segue into the solicitations themselves. So Access comprises two solicitations, each with different missions. NSF 21-555 requests proposals from organizations willing to serve as one of five independently managed yet tightly cooperative service tracks. While NSF 21-556 requests proposals from organizations willing to serve as a coordination office to support the collective and coordinated operations of the NSF Access track awardees. Keep in mind that the deadline for both solicitations is Thursday, June 16th, 2021. This figure, present in both solicitations, breaks down the various access services. We'll spend some time in upcoming slides going over the details and specific activities of each of these service tracks and the coordination office. So we will definitely revisit this. But the guiding principles for this program are outlined as follows. OAC is interested in establishing a suite of CI coordination services meant to support a broad and diverse set of requirements, users, and usage modes from all areas of science and engineering research and education. In support of this mission, solicitation NSF 21-555 expects to fund five awards for five independently managed yet tightly cooperative services defined in the following five tracks. One is allocation services, two, end user support services, three is operations and integration services, four is monitoring and measurement services, and five are technology translation services. Together, these services are expected to provide a seamless experience for an increasing breadth of research users across a highly performing, innovative array of national computational computing resources. NSF 21-555 calls out specific activities that should be described in proposals for each of the five tracks. While plans for such activities are required, plans for additional relevant activities at the proposal's discretion are welcome. The suite of awardees expected by NSF 21-555 would benefit from a third party to support their collective and coordinated operation. In support of this, an Access Coordination Office is expected to be awarded via NSF 21-556. And you can see its services and activities at the bottom of this figure. We will now step through the specific activities of each of the five access service tracks and the services from NSF 21-556. Note that all guidance presented in the text for NSF 21-555 is given equal weight, and the details that we will cover today are not meant to be seen as prioritized over any text not discussed. We will start with allocation services, which will be responsible for providing equitable access to NSF-funded CI resources for the nation's SNE research and education community, with the goal of enabling discoveries at scales beyond the reach of an individual or regional academic institution. The allocation services track comprises three defined activities: the allocation services themselves, innovative pilots, and a service model. The budget for this activity should be no more than $7.5 million total over a duration of 5 years. CI resources that will be allocated must include the range of computing resources funded in the NSF Advanced Computing Systems portfolio, including leadership class computing and the advanced computing systems and services, as well as NSF-funded CI resource providers that have committed to provisioning resources and services to the wider national S&E community, such as those funded by the Major Research Instrumentation Program, Campus Cyber Infrastructure Program, and any other resources deemed necessary by the proposer to enable transformative research in next-generation end-to-end S&E discovery workflows. The allocation services plan should detail near-term plans to evolve current resource allocation processes with concrete actions to progressively incorporate innovation and efficiencies, such as, but not limited to, leveraging off-the-shelf software components, commercial cloud computing services, new modes of evaluation, new methods for allocation of non-computing resources, etc. The pilot's plan will detail a longer-term vision to examine novel and potentially disruptive new allocation models and processes to incorporate the agility and responsiveness needed to address the rapidly evolving research and CI resource provider landscape. Lastly, the service model should describe how to the S&E community, how the NSF-funded CI resource providers and the end user support services track, as well as any other tracks defined in a solicitation as appropriate. So how it will reach those stakeholders. The model must include effective processes for onboarding and engaging with new NSF-funded CI resources to ensure that the unique capabilities provisioned by the resource are made available to the S&E community. The service model must also describe a well-defined interface to the end-user support services track to ensure effective communication with and direct support of the S&E research community with respect to the proposed allocation processes. Now on to track two. End-user support services will be responsible for ensuring a high-quality, productive experience for prospective and current users when engaging with the NSF-funded CI resource providers at any stage. The successful end-user support services awardee will serve end users with planned, pending, or current allocations on NSF-funded CI resources, or those who are otherwise utilizing associated services, for example, data and software services. End-user support services should comprise four defined activities: general user assistance, allocation and utilization assistance, end-user training, and the development of a computational science support network, or CSSN. The budget for this activity should be no more than $10 million total over a duration of 5 years. The plans for general user assistance and allocation and utilization assistance should together detail how information will be made available to users via an access portal, and how responses to queries from users will be logged, tracked, and handed off to relevant services, such as the allocation services. Then user training plan should detail how the proposed project will organize and develop training materials, courses, and events disseminated via the Access web portal and Access supported workshops. Note that planned training activities should focus on teaching users how to make maximal, efficient, and effective utilization of Access services and NSF-funded CI resources. Lastly, we ask for proposers to describe plans to develop and foster a computational science support network, or CSSN, that will assimilate and coordinate the human capital separately funded by NSF at the national, regional, and campus levels, and engage with the relevant existing community organizations and structures. Now moving on to track three, operations and integration services. These services are expected to provide core integrative services, processes, and policies in support of the assimilation and operations of resources that are part of the NSF-funded National CI ecosystem, with the goal of enabling a coordinated, secure, robust, and usable platform for transformative research across all of science and engineering. The primary stakeholders for operations and integration services will be relevant personnel at NSF-funded CI resource providers, including the operations and maintenance, end-user support, and CI research staff. The successful Track 3 awardee is expected to have well-defined relationships and divisions of responsibilities with such personnel, including, but not limited to, the implementation of policies for onboarding and integrating into the NSF-funded national CI ecosystem. Proposals to Track 3 must include plans for the following relevant activities: operational support, data and networking support, and cybersecurity support. The budget for this activity should be no more than $20 million over a duration of 5 years. The operational support plan should detail how the proposed service would function as an information sharing platform between the operations and maintenance staff at the NSF-funded CI resource providers. Such activities could include, but are not limited to, sharing best practices for the configuration and management of computational systems, the development of resource integration frameworks, and authentication strategies. The data and networking support plan should focus on leveraging existing networking infrastructure for the NSF CI ecosystem. This should include information on how existing incumbent data and networking capabilities and services will be transitioned into the vision of the proposer. It should also detail how the proposer will work with the monitoring and measurement track on best practices. The plan for cybersecurity should detail how the proposer will work with service providers to ensure a safe, secure, and trustworthy shared CI ecosystem. This should detail how continuity from existing incumbent activities will be maintained and transitioned into the proposer's vision. Note that activities funded via Track 3 are not expected to include help desk level support specific to a given resource provider, which is separately supported through operations and maintenance funds in OAC's service provider acquisition programs, including the ACSS program. Activities funded under this track are also not meant to provide hardware, software, or other infrastructure support for other tracks in this solicitation. Moving on to Track 4, the monitoring and measurement track is expected to serve the role of providing an integrated and open data collection and analytics platform to ensure optimal performance, robustness, and usage of NSF-funded resources, including compute, storage, networking, software or data services, et cetera, as well as to facilitate timely decision-making for a broad range of stakeholders. Stakeholders for this track include CI resource owners, SNE research users, CI software developers, as well as future CI capacity and capability planners. Proposers to this track are requested to provide the following defined plans: monitoring and measurement operations, a service model, and a data analytics framework. The budget for this activity should not exceed $10 million over a duration of 5 years. The monitoring measurement operations plan must be provided with a detailed schedule to begin taking on the production operational role currently performed by the incumbent awardee within 9 months of award. The schedule must clearly indicate milestones and deliverables, especially if critical features will be deployed in a staged manner. This operations plan must also include a detailed risk management plan to identify, analyze, and mitigate known risk factors. A service model must define the service model to the SNE community, the NSF-funded CI resource providers, and any other tracks defined in the solicitation to provide additional utility to the stakeholders as appropriate. It must include effective processes for engaging with the wider NSF-funded CI ecosystem and expected outcomes. Proposals are also requested to describe their data analytics framework and the features it will provide to address the needs of the targeted stakeholders. Proposers must describe the usability of the framework and how it will provide customizable multi-view interfaces for reporting a broad range of operational and higher level impact metrics across time, as well as other dimensions. Proposers must also describe the types of information and data that will be assimilated into the framework to garner insights not otherwise possible. The proposed framework must allow individual and aggregated groups of CI resources to be examined for usage trends across multiple dimensions, as well as identification of capability gaps at local and global scales. Additionally, Proposers must describe the machine-readable interfaces that will be available to enable automation of S&E workflows and the incorporation of forward-looking predictive data analytics techniques, such as those based on machine learning. Any other features of the proposed data analytics framework that addresses the goals of this service should be described. Last but not least, we have track 5. The technology translation services track is intended to support new models of engagement among NSF-supported CI researchers and developers, S&E research communities, NSF-funded CI resource providers, and potential providers of other CI coordination services as appropriate. Most importantly, the technology translation services are also expected to maintain well-defined and documented interfaces with the CI research and developer community, as well as with resource providers, to ensure the translation of CI innovations to production and to maximize their potential impact on science and engineering. Services in this track should consider how the integration of the data and software projects into production is responsive to the needs and priorities of the S&E research communities, as well as the opportunities for improved efficiencies and performance in the operations of the CI ecosystem. Proposals to provide technology translation and integration services in response to this track are expected to demonstrate expertise in and capability to follow established data and software engineering processes and develop innovative mechanisms and processes for the continuous and sustained integration of data and software services into the robust NSF production CI ecosystem. Proposers to this track are requested to provide the following defined plans for these relevant activities. Pilot and development phase operations, production phase operations, and a technology translation pipeline. The budget for this activity should not exceed $10 million over a duration of 5 years. Operations in this track should include two defined phases of operations, the pilot/development phase and the production phase. During the pilot/development phase, the proposer should develop, document, and begin executing processes for determining, using established criteria and metrics and with community inputs, which solutions to move to production and for how long. And you can see more information on that in the translation pipeline to be discussed. Proposers should carefully consider the time spent in piloting and development and how to transition to a production phase. As the project transitions to the production phase, it should exploit economies of scale to allow for less time and budget to be committed on a per project basis. The technology translation pipeline should detail how the awardee will select data and software technology solution candidates and deploy them into production operations at NSF-funded CI resource providers, for example, as software packages or hosted services. The processes for selection and deployment of technology solutions should be based on established metrics, enterprise best practices, and S&E community engagement. The translation pipeline should also describe how the proposed service will serve as a custodian of a given solution candidate once it graduates into production, including how long the candidate will be supported, engagement mechanisms with both the solution developers and CI resource provider hosts, and relevant metrics to gauge success. Furthermore, the technology translation service providers are expected to work with resource providers to sustain these solutions in production operations so that CI innovations can be leveraged by the user community for S&E research and education. So one note on the planned activities for all tracks. The expectations for each track's defined activities, their scope, and review criteria can be found in the program description, proposal preparation instructions, and additional solicitation-specific review criteria sections of solicitation NSF-21-555. For example, while all of the listed plans in the previous slides are required, plans for additional track-relevant activities at the proposer's discretion are welcome. This is true for all tracks within NSF-21-555. And please refer to the solicitation text and the sections listed here for more detail about these defined activities. Awardees in all tracks of NSF 21-555 will be expected to interface operationally with one or more defined access service tracks and with a coordination function to be supported by NSF through the separate access coordination office awarded by NSF 21-556. More information on specific requirements to these interfaces can be found in the solicitation text. For example, in each track, the PIs for the award will be expected to serve on the Access Executive Council as managed by the ACO. So who may submit to NSF 21-555? Institutions of higher education are eligible to submit. We will comment on the case of subawardees or other partners, including those not designated as IHEs, during a bit of slides later in this webinar. The number of proposals per PI or co-PI allowed is one. An individual may be the PI on no more than one proposal that responds to the solicitation. An individual may also serve as a senior personnel on proposals to tracks other than the track to which they have submitted a proposal as the PI. Limit on the number of proposals per organization is one. An organization may submit only one proposal, but may be a subawardee on other proposals responding to this solicitation. Note that these eligibility requirements are specific to NSF 21-555, and the eligibility for NSF 21-556 and any overlap will be discussed in a moment. Note that NSF 21-555 has solicitation-specific guidance regarding collaborative proposals. Collaborative projects may only be submitted as a single proposal in which a single award is being requested. More information about this can be found in the linked section here of the PAPPG. The involvement of partner organizations should be supported through subawards administered by the submitting organization. These eligibility constraints will be strictly enforced in order to treat everyone fairly and consistently. In the event that an organization or individual exceeds this limit, the proposals received within the limit will be accepted based on the earliest date and time of proposal submission, and no exceptions will be made. With regards to proposal preparation instructions, proposal titles must begin with either track one or track two, et cetera, depending on the track being proposed. Only personnel directly connected to the project should be listed as collaborators. The page limit for the project description section of proposals is 25 pages. Please refer to the solicitation for more detail about content required in proposals. For example, a list of all organizations involved in the proposed project is required as a supplementary document in all tracks. So we'll now change gears to the second solicitation to be discussed in this webinar, solicitation NSF 21-556, which supports the Access Coordination Office, or ACO. The ACO will provide coordination, support services, and staffing for the top-level facilitation and governance and communications among the Access awardees and with the public, including support for top-level inter-awardee coordination, coordination of an external advisory board to the Access awardees, and establishment of a common framework of Access community outreach and information dissemination, for example, common landing page for Access activities. The work of the ACO includes the following relevant activities. Management and administration of an Access Executive Council, creation and management of an external Access advisory board, and Access-wide communication, outreach, and other community building activities. It also asks for management of certain, in terms of the coordination activities, the communication outreach, that's correct. The budget for this activity should be no more than $5 million total over a duration of 5 years. The Access Executive Council will comprise the principal investigators, or PIs, of Access awardees as primary members, and an agreed upon number of other Access Award senior personnel as secondary members or observers. The purpose of the Access Executive Council is to effect top-level coordination and governance among all Access awardees in order to ensure high operational efficiency and user-centric performance of the collective Access resources for the benefit of the scientific and engineering research community. The Council is also meant to prepare Access-wide communications, such as annual community reports, to the SNE research community, supported by the Access awardees, covering progress on activities over the year, science highlights, and track-specific plans for the future. The ACO will facilitate the creation of an agreed-upon charter and meeting cadence, provide coordination services for in-person and/or online meetings, track the Executive Council membership, and prepare and disseminate meeting minutes amongst the members. The Access External Advisory Board will provide the Executive Council with advice on various services provided by the Access Program awardees and include a diverse group of members representing the broad SNE and CI communities served by Access. This board should not include individuals from other Access awardee tracks. The Access External Advisory Board is expected to establish a charter and relevant operations procedures in consultation with and approval from all members of the Executive Council. The ACO will organize the establishment of an agreed charter and meeting cadence for the External Advisory Board and will provide coordination services for in-person and online meetings, track External Advisory Board membership, prepare and disseminate meeting minutes among the members, and establish an internal archive of the same accessible to members. The External Advisory Board will be expected to meet at least yearly and will include the NSF Cognizant Program Officer for the Access Program as an ex officio observer. Proposers should describe the communication and outreach activities that the ACO will carry out to engage with both established and burgeoning CI user communities across a broad range of SNE disciplines with possible interest or active participation in the Access coordination services. Communications and outreach activities should include, but are not limited to, development and maintenance of a unified web portal for public communications about ongoing or planned Access activities, editing and dissemination of regular community communications, such as newsletters, and development, under direction from the Access Executive Council, of annual public reports highlighting Access-supported research activities and other milestones. The ACO awardee will interface with the PIs for the individual Access coordination service tracks. Note that the ACO itself will not engage in overall governance or management responsibilities for the Access program, but awardees will enable other Access awardees to accomplish those activities through provisioning of staffing and services. So proposal preparation instructions for NSF 21-556 are as follows. Proposal titles must begin with ACO colon. Only personnel directly connected to the project should be listed as collaborators. The page limit for the project description section of the proposal is 25 pages. Please refer to the solicitation for more detail about sectioning of defined activities within the project description. As in 21-555, you can see, for example, that certain supplementary documents are required, such as the list of all organizations involved in the proposed project. So who may submit to 21-556? Institutions of higher education are eligible to submit to this project. And we'll comment, just like before, we'll comment on the case of subawardees in a future slide. The number of proposers or proposers per PI or co-PI is one. The number of proposals per organization is one. And note that the eligibility requirements are specific to NSF 21-556, which brings us to a note on the eligibility of whether to submit to both solicitations. The eligibility restrictions on NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556 are independent from each other. For example, an organization or a PI could, if desired, apply to NSF 21-555 within its eligibility restrictions and also apply to NSF 21-556 within its eligibility restrictions. So I'd like to take a moment to talk about the award process, should your proposal be awarded. Any awards made for NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556 are expected to be via cooperative agreements. These cooperative agreements will include additional reporting requirements to be negotiated with the PI institution prior to award. They will be incorporated into special terms and conditions of the award itself. So now, just going over a quick summary, the deadline for NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556 is June 16th, 2021. Pay careful attention to the eligibility information on each solicitation. Also note that specific sections are required as part of the project description, and you can find more information on that in the proposal preparation instructions. The award tracks for NSF 21-555 are meant to be independently managed, yet tightly. The ACO, NSF 21-556, is meant to provide support for governance, communications, among Access awardees and the public, and not overall management of Access. And of course, solicitation-specific review criteria apply, mainly in connection with the relevant activities that we discussed in the previous slides. So we will be moving to our Q&A section shortly. Please use the Q&A function in Zoom to submit your questions. We may not be able to get to all of them in this session, but we will make sure to take your questions into account as we plan anticipated follow-up materials to be available, including a recording of this webinar. If your question was not addressed, please feel free to send us your question via email, and we will have contact information in a future slide. What I will do now is go through a few frequently asked questions before we open it up to questions from the community. So one frequently asked question is, what is the anticipated start date for awards made by NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556? The awards for these solicitations are expected to be made in FY 2022, subject to the outcome of proposal reviews and availability of funds. Another question is, what is the expected duration of awards for Access Tracks and Access ACO? Keep in mind that the anticipated duration for awards made by both solicitations is a duration of 5 years. Are renewals possible for awards made by NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556? So this would be after the initial 5 years of the award. Yes, they are possible. For each award made in NSF 21-555 and 21-556, there's a possibility of renewal award contingent upon availability of funds, successful evaluation of the awardee's performance, and NSF merit review of a renewal proposal. Another question is, can I or my institution apply to both NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556? Yes, eligibility information on both of these solicitations are independent from each other. Hence, an institution can submit, and or an individual may be PI, on one proposal to NSF 21-555 and one proposal to NSF 21-556. Another question that has come up is, if my institution does not qualify as an institute of higher education, would my institution be able to participate in NSF 21-555 or NSF 21-556? Yes, there are opportunities for an organization that is not an IHE to participate. As set forth in the solicitations, organizations that do not qualify as an IHE may not apply as the submitting organization to NSF 21-555 or NSF 21-556. Partnerships between an IHE and certain other organizations are allowed, provided that all requirements specified in the NSFPA PPG and the solicitations themselves are met. Another question we've received is, I don't see a service provided by the current NSF-supported CI coordination services landscape in this solicitation. Will that service continue? And to answer that, I should note that the services currently being solicited are specific to NSF 21-555 and NSF 21-556. If you'd like to know more information about NSF's vision for the CI service ecosystem more broadly, you can visit the link to NSF's blueprint for a national cyber infrastructure ecosystem for science and engineering in the 21st century at the link below. And this is the same link that my colleague, Dr. Manish Parashar, had shared with you earlier. Now, one last frequently asked question. Will detailed knowledge about existing incumbent activities be required to prepare a successful proposal? And the answer to that is no. NSF seeks innovative proposals that can drive new thinking and transformative discoveries in all areas of S&E research and education, including, where applicable, the transition of certain existing activities to the proposer's vision. Proposals will be reviewed using the NSB-approved merit review criteria, namely intellectual merit and broader impacts, and respective solicitation-specific review criteria. The Exceed project and the Exceed Metrics Service XMS project have provided material, including documents labeled transition plans, available on their web presences. Any material presented by incumbent awardees on their web presences are the views of the awardees and do not necessarily reflect those of the NSF. So now we will move on to questions submitted by the community. And I think we have a few queued up here. And I will be joined by my colleague, Robert Chaddock, and some other OAC colleagues for assistance in answering questions from the audience.
Thank you, Al. And thank each of you all, you know, this afternoon, or in the case of the West Coast this morning, for your interest and the privilege of your time this afternoon. This is our privilege to continue to work closely with you all. Al, do you have our first question?
Sure. So, well, one of them I think we may have covered, which someone had asked, what is the anticipated start date for these awards and for providing these services to the community? So as much as we can share right now is we're expected to make these awards in FY 2022, subject to availability of funds. Another question has come in. Will cybersecurity be included funded during the construction phase in order to ensure secure architecture and development of systems that are more affordably and effectively secured in production? Bob, do you want to handle that?
Yeah, no, thank you. This is the aspect of, again, as you heard from us several times, you know, beginning, including in Manisha's remarks opening us up, is really, this is the sense of what we're seeking are innovative proposals, you know, that contribute to drive new thinking and transformative discoveries. Really how you see yourselves, you know, in that model, including in the context of cybersecurity, is how you see yourselves. So in that respect, you know, the whole aspect of the, you know, continuing significance and prominence of cybersecurity is recognized. Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Bob. So another question has come in asking what mechanisms have been envisioned to fund actual work for advanced user support via the entities that will be assembled via the CSSN in Track 2.
No, again, thank you. Again, with the same significance and value placed in, again, innovative proposals. This is also, again, in the same manner as the aspect of how you see yourselves and your visions being responsive to the CSSN, you know, proposal type. You know, it's also the aspect, you know, in this question is really also the aspect that the definitive resource contributing to the consideration of the proposals 21555 and 21556, you know, are the solicitations themselves. So as you think of this and how you view yourself, that's your primary resource in presenting your vision going forward. So again, thank you, Al, and thank you for the question.
Thank you, Bob. So we're waiting on a few more questions here. So one question has come in asking, can I submit to just the innovative pilots portion of track one? You wish to answer that, Bob?
No, again, thank you. Thank you for your interest. The tracks are purposefully defined, you know, to provide what is the service in response to NSF requirements. So that, you know, the aspect of how any proposal would be presented and be aligned is being responsive to all the requirements of a given tract, you know, is really also the sense of, like, once again, how you see yourself responding to all the requirements specified for an entire tract. So again, thank you for your interest and your question.
So we have one question that has asked, are there additional opportunities for minority serving institutes to grow and train a diverse workforce? Manish, would you like to answer that question?
Sure. So I answered by saying that addressing diversity, both in the project, but more importantly in the community, is an essential aspect of every track in the solicitation, and we encourage the responses to address those aspects.
Thank you, Manish. So we're having a few more questions come in. Give us one moment. So we have a question asking as the ACO proposer, so for the coordination office proposer, expected to fund efforts of the executive council members, or the executive council members must budget their effort for coordination in their own service proposals. So I think the answer to that question is we specify that in the solicitation. So it is up to you how you wish to interpret what we've laid forth in the solicitation text. So we're just making sure we connect the connect our questions to the to our best answer. So give us one moment. So someone had asked, just one moment. So someone had asked, how do you envision the integration of multiple tracks in NSF 21-555 and 21-556? Manish, please please go ahead.
So independent but tightly coordinated efforts in concert with the council and advisory bodies coordinated by the ACO, right? So that's how we can support the integration of tracks. It should be done in this sort of a independent but tightly coordinated manner.
Thank you, Manish. So I know, I think we had a couple questions that came in asking about specific activities that are currently funded by incumbent awards. And I can go back quickly to, this is one of our frequently asked questions about if you don't see a service provided by the current coordination landscape in these solicitations. The answer is we're looking for what's specifically in NSF 21-555 or NSF 21-556. And if you're interested in NSF's greater vision for the ecosystem more broadly, you can take a look at the blueprint documents. So one question we've received is, new and innovative CI systems combine hardware and software technologies that are new to the CI ecosystem and need translation for production. Should Track 5 propose to contribute to, along with CI system awardees and Track 3, the translation of first-of-a-kind hardware technologies to production, i.e. is Track 5 involved in translating / integrating new and innovative hardware CI systems with accompanying software technologies to production? Would you like to take that, Manish?
Sure. So we look at technology broadly, and we're looking for your best ideas on how we can translate technology to impact science moving forward. Right? So we're looking for your most innovative and best ideas. How could we realize this technology translation service that can have the greatest impact on science moving forward?
Thank you, Manish. So thank you for your patience as we see what other questions come in. So give us 1 second as we ensure we get the right answer to any questions still coming in. So one question that has come in asks that in track two, allocation utilization assistance, what is meant by dedicated circumscribed staff? In the solicitation text. You're responsible for coming up with innovative solutions that respond to this and other guidance in the solicitation. So that's how you should take that text. I'm still reading through your questions, so thank you for your patience. So one question received is, how would one describe an end user in terms of skill level, novice, advanced, et cetera? I think we're looking for innovative proposals from the community for their interpretation of end users, I think specific to the CI supported research community or the NSF supported CI research community. So that is how you wish to interpret the solicitation text. One other question received. Someone had asked that the track 5 pilot development and production phases are sequential, representing a trial translation process followed by a production translation process and not active for the entire award to translate technologies. The first interpretation is correct. The solicitation is looking for a pilot slash development phase of the translation activity and a production phase of the translation activity. So Manish, I think you may have more to say on the definition of end users to keep me straight.
Sure, Al. So I think we interpret the end users as a US research community that leverages the resources towards science and engineering.
All right. So one question submitted is, are the various access tracks and the overall coordination going to serve and coordinate national CI resources from NCAR and other FFRDCs? Bob, would you like to answer that question?
No, thank you, Al, and thank you for the questions. I think if you look at the solicitation itself, the definitive resource and contribution, to that issue is really in the solicitation itself. The other thing I would draw attention to specifically in the context of, NSF awardees are always, fully encouraged to follow up with their cognizant program officers, in association with any questions that may emerge. For some of you all, that may be me, in which case, I'd welcome a chance for us to talk further at another time. But across the NSF awardees, that's an appropriate follow-up to the discussion this afternoon. So thank you, Al.
Thank you, Bob, for that one. So one question received has asked, will the awardees of the user track specifically be specifically discouraged from assisting users from other resources than those funded as part of the Exceed program? For example, is there an opportunity to provide support to those infrastructures plus other regional clusters? And I think the best way to look at this is we're looking for proposers to develop innovative solutions in response to the text laid out in the solicitation and the user track. And Bob, I don't know if you wish to have additional context there.
No, that's correct, Al. It's really the sense is that, you know, what goes back to Bing is, you know, the aspect that the definitive resource for interpretation of the solicitation is the solicitation itself. You know, so what Al has shared with you, that is the correct response.
Thank you, Bob. So one question received is, will ACO define the authentication mechanism to be used by the access portal or the other way? I think the important piece here is you're looking at the solicitation text laying out the five independently managed service tracks and the ACO and its executive council. So this is up to whoever will be responding, how they wish to interpret and propose their use of any authentication mechanism per the terms of the solicitation. Bob, would you like to add anything to that?
No, again, that's correct, Al. What it really comes back to being is how you see any proposal and your interests contributing to achieve the requirements specified in the 556 solicitation. What it comes back to being is making your case. So again, thank you all.
Thank you, Bob. So we've received another question that has asked, on access, NSF calls for proposals for 5 independently managed yet tightly cooperative service tracks. Are you encouraging every site submits a coordinated set of proposals, i.e. PIs who submit proposals to access work coordinate together and support each other? Manish, would you like to comment on this question?
Sure, as the question rightly says, it's the deployed services that the successful proposals will lead to, that those will be tightly coordinated, right? It's not the proposals, but it's the services that will be tightly coordinated.
Thank you, Manish. So one question received is, Track 5 has a rather expansive view of technologies that may be candidates for translation. Many of those technologies may not have operations funding. Who becomes responsible for hands-on operations of Track 5 translated technologies? And for that, we urge you to take a look at the solicitation text and what is expected in Track 5, especially along what is to be proposed in the translation pipeline. And thank you for your question. Last question or two, give us one moment. So one question asks, does this solicitation include all NSF-funded CI, for example, test beds, as well as computation resources? For that, we urge you to look into the specific tracks and what stakeholders are expected for each tracks, including where appropriate, the proposer may wish to propose to relevant resources that they deem are important. And Bob, I don't know if you have more to add on that question.
No, that, you know, thank you again. And thank you for your question. This is also, again, in the sense of, you know, NSF awardees are always fully encouraged to follow up with their respective Cognizant program officers, you know, including in response to any questions that come up. So again, thank you, Al. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. So we have one last question here. It's asking, how should a proposer handle their dependency on other service tracks? At time of submission, it is unknown which of the dependencies may actually be available. How is NSF expecting to fill the gaps that emerge? And to answer that, again, pointing to the solicitation text, NSF 21-555 for the service tracks themselves expects to fund 5 awards for 5 independently managed yet tightly cooperative services. So with regards to those dependencies, the ACO funded by NSF 21-556 and the Executive Council therein will allow for a path towards the interoperability and or standardization of interfaces between tracks and stakeholders throughout the transition period and beyond. So thank you for your question. So we've received some questions about transition from incumbent services and transition periods and data available from incumbent awardees. And for that, I'm just going to point you to our last FAQ question that we went over here, which is looking at what we're looking for in the proposals to either solicitation and how we will be reviewing them based on the merit review criteria and solicitation specific review criteria. So detailed knowledge about existing incumbent activities will not be required to prepare a successful proposal. And regarding transition activities, Manish, would you like to comment on that? You may be muted, Manish.
So as we always do, it's an overarching comment. NSF is going to make every effort possible to minimize impact on the science community during any transitions that might need to happen.
Thank you, Manish. So that's more general in response to any questions regarding that activity, how any transitions or gaps will be dealt with. So we've reached our end time here. As a reminder, a recording of this webinar will be available at the event page for this link for this event. You can find the link to that at this short web link here. If you have any further questions, the Cognizant Program Director information for Bob and myself are here on the slide. So we always welcome questions from the community. And I will hand off to my colleague, Manish Parashar, and other NSF OAC management for final notes.
Thank you, Al and Bob, for the tremendous job. And thank you to all of you for being part of this webinar and for your interest in this program. As always, we look for your best ideas moving forward to really implement our vision for this cyber infrastructure ecosystem to democratize access to our resources and to enable the science and engineering research and education that we are all committed to doing. So thank you once again, and we look forward to your responses to these solicitations.
Thank you, Manish. So this concludes the Access Program webinar.